This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
With the first days of Dhul-Hijjah now being upon us, the days of the month of Hajj, we cannot overlook the feat of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Featured in the Quran, Ibrahim alayhi salam is the only human being in Allah's greatest scripture that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told to follow in his footsteps. And for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are told that the very best days of the year, where good deeds are more beloved to Allah, no matter how small these deeds are, more beloved to Allah than deeds done in any other time, meaning even Ramadan, are the days that are centered around the month of Hajj, meaning the month of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. And recall, always, recurrently, keep recalling when your Lord tested Ibrahim with many, many instructions. They were challenges related to social challenges, his family relationship. They were financial challenges. They were actual physical challenges. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, and he passed all of these tests with flying colors. So as a result, the very next statement in the verse, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I have set you up, as a result of this, I have set you up for all of humanity as an imam, as a role model, as a leader to be modeled after. And you know, it is not just the sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salam that we should be recalling, but what they were generated by. They were empowered, they were generated by the purity of his tawheed, of his recognition of Allah and his unique oneness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you can think even like, what is the relevance of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam now? People in pre-modern times, ancient times, used to worship idols. He destroyed the idols, tried to bring them to their senses. They tried to kill him. And what is his relevance for us now? Well, he took on the world. And one of the signs, right, of us needing to revive the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam is our inability to sustain just the pressures of our little world, our individual lives. The unrealistic fear, sometimes the paranoia we live in nowadays. You know, even when we speak about the example of standing up for justice, pushing back against the genocide happening in different parts of the world, people are prematurely afraid, immediately assuming that any little bit of a stance will mean I'm getting canceled, I'm getting fired, I'm getting arrested, I'm getting a criminal record automatically, right? And look at the flip side also. The people that were courageous, more courageous than before in these last few months, a part of that was because we're all doing it together. Like, there's unprecedented awareness, unprecedented activism. But compare that with Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said to his wife Sarah one day, there is not a single believer on the face of the earth except me and you. It's me and you against the world. It's incredible to think that he took this on, alayhi salam. You know, even the Quran tells us that when they tried to actually threaten him, very realistic fears, very real threats, and they acted on them, right? He would say to them, you're trying to make me afraid of your imaginary gods, these gods that you claim are gods, when you are not afraid of the Almighty and your defiance to him. And then he says, فَأَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ. Which of the two parties is more entitled to security? Meaning, if you think I'm afraid, there's no way I'm afraid if you're not afraid. That can't be the case. And then the very next ayah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And likewise for every believer, those who actually believe and don't pollute their belief with wrongdoing, don't weaken their own faith with wrongdoing, they are those that have the truest share, the biggest lot of security, and being rightly guided. Because you know, the others, when their faith weakens, this opens the door for shaitan to create in them unrealistic fears, imaginary fears. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. It is just shaitan, Allah said, that is causing you to be afraid of his allies, those aligned with him. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ. Don't fall into that trap of fearing them. وَخَافُونِ. And fear me, Allah says, if you're actually a believer. And so the relevance of Ibrahim alayhi salam, here and now, let us ask ourselves, what is our share of that fearlessness? Our lives are not on the line. We are simply told, or assume we will be told, or are worried about thoughts that are going to float in some onlooker's mind because we're going to pray in public and so we won't. Or we're going to say this or that or the third in public and so we don't. Or we're not going to have their approval if we dress this way and don't find the middle solution between our dress code and their liquid culture. And so we don't, right? Where is our share in saying, I am not here for your approval. I care not and I fear not if you don't accept me. You know, there's another element to this, brothers and sisters. This is not just thinking too highly of others when you become this way. There is also the element of an invisible idol. Indulge me. The idol, the inner idol within ourselves. You know, sometimes it is an inflated sense of self-regard, self-concern, self-importance. Too much that I have to be accepted, I have to be approved of, I have to be comfortable. No, who said you do? Right? That means nothing of inconvenience is deserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means. And that's why Allah azza wa jal cautioned people against this. And he said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the one that has accepted as his God, the ultimate objective, right? Accepted as their God, their fancies, their vanities, their desires. Or the other ayah in Surah Ali Imran. Notice the link in this ayah. Allah says, وَطَائِفَةٌ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. There was a group. Where was the downfall of this group? That they were too concerned about themselves, and so they began to suspect about Allah inappropriate things like people used to suspect before Islam. So people's faith weakened to a point. Why is God asking for all of this when all of this could be a fraction of a fraction of what he gave you, and he deserves all of this anyway? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it was their over-concern about themselves that made them what? That made them suspect ugly things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why, brothers and sisters, also, the greatest manifestation, the greatest display of demolishing that inner idol is called what? It's called shahada. It's called martyrdom. Because, you know, like with Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ibn Mas'ud was explaining to the people how different Bilal was in the early years of Islam when they were being persecuted for being Muslim. He was saying, وَأَمَّا بِلَالٌ فَهَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ نَفْسُهُ فِي اللَّهِ. As for Bilal, you want to know why Bilal not only didn't take the cop out or take sort of the easy route, even if it was permissible, mind you. If your life is on the line, you can pretend to sort of walk away from Islam so long as your faith is settled in your heart. But Bilal refused to even give them an inch. He would spite them and he would say, if I knew anything that would provoke them more than my statement, Ahadun Ahad, there's only one God, there's only one God, I would have said it. Why? Ibn Mas'ud says, because Bilal considered himself dispensable for Allah. That's the idea. He didn't even have to do this much. And this also shows you the power, the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the power of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, the exclusivity of Allah. When it is fiery in your heart, when it is pure in your heart, look at the heroics it can create. More heroics than are even pass fail line necessary. Brothers and sisters, because I don't know if time will allow me to mention the two other examples, but let me try. There are also other forms of setting equals to Allah without realizing it, or sort of bowing to our own inner idol, or this sort of thing exists on many levels. And the Prophet ﷺ warned about it. And there's no time like Dhul Hijjah to remember it. He said that shirk, setting equals with Allah, crowding Allah's oneness and uniqueness and His exclusivity, right? His standalone right, His distinguished right, he said, it will crawl up on my ummah. On my ummah, meaning this is not the type that will remove you from Islam. It happens within the ummah. It's a lesser form. It's a stepping stone. He said, will crawl up on my ummah like a black ant on a black rock in a dark night. Then he said, he gives you an example of it. He said, وَأَدِنَاهُ أَن تُحِبَّ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْجَوْرِ أَوْ أَن تُبْغِضَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْعَدْلِ. The most subtle form of this is when you love someone because of some unfairness they committed. That was convenient to you. Favoritism, right? Or for you to resent someone because of some fairness that was not in your favor, right? Some inconvenience. They stood against you to stand for justice, right? They upset you because they took a fair stance. Or so of the subtle forms of shirk is for you to hate, to love someone because they were unfair, but in your favor. Or for you to hate someone, to feel a certain way about someone because they were fair at your expense. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same hadith, وَهَلِ الدِّينُ إِلَّا الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. What else does it mean to be upon this religion? To be upon the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam? To be upon the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What else is the deen, he said, except to love for Allah and to hate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To accept that you are not the center of the universe, brothers and sisters. Which means what? Which means people don't have to bow down, and I'm going to use that term deliberately, to bow down to your opinions, your preferences. By the way, not even your opinions in Islam sometimes. You know, there is a great wisdom in why Allah Azza wa Jal made certain things in Islam crystal clear. Allah is one and Muhammad is final prophet and the Quran is his book and wine and fornication are prohibited and being good to your parents and giving in charity are virtues. Those are constants, closed, definitive. But then there are aspects that Allah didn't forget when He left them open to some interpretation. To test you, are you going to stop yourself and say, wait a minute, this is open to interpretation. Let me stop acting like everyone is being arrogant and rebellious and hard-headed and stubborn because they don't follow my opinion on these issues. They're, Allah left them that way by design for a supreme wisdom, let alone our personal opinion. So you stop yourself. Is it this category or is it that category? And if you hold everyone to your opinions when the matter is open to opinion, then you should suspect that there's an idol inside that you're trying to get everyone to bow to. This is an inflated sense of self, right? And Ibrahim alayhi salam used to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect him, to distance him, not just protect him, from every idol. He would say, وَجُنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Oh Allah, protect me and protect my offspring from worshipping the idols. One of the lesser forms of idol worship is self-worship. You are your own idol. Ibrahim al-Taymi rahimahullah used to say about this ayah, وَمَنْ يَأْمَنُ الْبَلَاءَ بَعْدَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Who can ever feel secure? Who can ever guarantee? After Ibrahim alayhi salam was insecure, was worried about this component, right? And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the people, would you like for me to tell you something that will get rid of all of these forms of shirk, of setting equals to Allah, rivals to God? He said, it's for you to say, and look this up and learn it after the khutbah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. O Allah, I seek your protection. Protect me from setting equals to you while I realize, and forgive me for the times that I do it while I don't even realize. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Brothers and sisters, the third and final point is that it is not just holding people to our opinions that could be a dangerous sign. It could be also us blurring the line between the goodness, the truth, the righteousness we are all seeking and ourselves. What do I mean by that? The early Muslims used to often say that the brokenness of the sinner is more beloved to Allah than the arrogance of the obedient person. You know, a sinner, when he feels broken, regret and brokenness because he sinned, that brings him closer to Allah, it brings him back. And the obedient person, meaning outwardly obedient, if he gets arrogant, that's the Iblis virus, right? The virus of Shaitan. If you start noticing yourself, you start getting conceited, you get full of yourself, the arrogance of the obedient doesn't bring them closer to Allah, it brings them farther than Allah, because then the arrogance becomes a greater sin than them all. This is the idea. And so none of us are at the top of the mountain. We're all pointing to the top of the mountain. And just because you are right now apparently a little bit ahead, that doesn't guarantee anything. You can actually tumble down faster. Acceleration due to gravity, right? This is what happened with Shaitan. And then you go to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and it is mind-blowing how he was able to never lose sight of this from the purity of his heart. Go to Surah Maryam. You find him talking to his father who's committing the greatest crime ever, worshipping an idol that he carved out with his own hands just to appease the rest of the tribe. What does he say to him? He says, "Ya abati." He doesn't say, "Hey you," or like use him by his first name. Should never call your parents by their first name, even if they're mushrik, right? He says, "Oh my dear father," not even Abi, my father, "abati," my dear respected father. Then he says, "Lima ta'budu?" Why are you worshiping? He doesn't say don't worship. He even understands, I'm not my dad's dad. I understand it's very hard for my dad to accept advice from his son. Look at, why are you worshiping? مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Something that cannot hear you and cannot see you and cannot benefit you in the least. يَا أَبَتِي إِنِّي أَخَافُ. Oh my dear respected father, I am afraid. This is purely out of concern. I am afraid, أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن, that you be touched, because even being touched is unbearable. Being touched by the punishment of Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. I mean, oh my father, if you can't find room in the mercy of the most merciful, who's going to have mercy on you, right? I'm afraid for you. Then what does his father do? His father says to him, not just I disown you, you're not my son anymore. He says to him, I'm going to execute you myself. لأرجمنك. I'm going to be the one to stone you to death. So what does he say? He says to him, سأستغفر لك ربي. I will seek forgiveness from my Lord for you. And then, you know, I will close here, brothers and sisters, but you know, you go to Surah Al-Shu'ara, you find the same precision and purity in Ibrahim alayhi salam, that when he did fulfill his promise and seek forgiveness for his father, and Allah said to him, it's a non-negotiable, case closed, he used up his chances. You know what he also said after waghfir li abi, and forgive my father? He also said in the same dua, wala tukhzini yawma yub'athun, and don't humiliate me either on the day that you resurrect everyone. Yawma la yanfa'u malun wala banun, on the day that no wealth nor children will benefit anyone. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except for the one who comes to Allah with a pure heart. Pure of the major shirk, pure of the minor shirk, right? Pure of it all. And he was certainly pure of it all. And that is his relevance, his timeless relevance in Dhul Hijjah and beyond. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his most beautiful names and lofty attributes to protect us from every evil, the outward and the inward. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from their dangerous consequences. We ask Allah to give us the ability to stand in front of the world if we must, by teaching us how to properly bow in front of Him. Allahumma ameen.